Morning, church. A couple of things. First off, I am parked in a handicap this morning. A couple of you have told me that and reminded me that I'm not handicapped. One of you actually said I am handicapped, but I'm not. But I told Jaheim, the youth group is gone on the youth trip. So Jaheim drove himself and the kids here, because when you're older kids drive, now they get to take the other kids everywhere. I don't have to do that. So he parked in the handicapped, and he has my keys. So, yes, I'm parked in the handicapped, but there's nothing I can do about it at the moment. So if I took your spot, tell my son when he gets here, because it really is his fault. Second thing, if we've got slides, we're going to start that. Second thing, if you've been here a lot this year, we've already talked about the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew. We've been in the Gospel of Matthew for quite a while, so this is not going to be some kind of repeat. And if most of you here, you probably forgot what I said the first time anyway, so it doesn't matter. There are times I think that it does good to go back and look at something again, because things are different the second time around. If you lived through the 80s, then let's just do a show of hands. Who in here is at least familiar with this movie? I didn't say you know the movie by heart, but you're familiar with the movie. Who has never seen nor knows anything about this movie whatsoever? Seriously, half of you? Well, the whole sermon's shot, so never mind. No, most of you know what I'm talking about. Recently, there was a kid who was asking me, he had to clean something. He said, "How do you want me to clean it?" And I said, "Wax on, wax off." Yeah. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And the kid looked at me and he said, "Huh?" And I said, "You know, wax on, wax off." And he said, "What's a wax off?" I said, "Just forget it." And I said, "You know, this youth today, you know, they don't know anything important." I went back and watched. So this movie came out in 1984. Some of you were 30. Some of us were 4 years old when it came out. But I went back and watched this movie again, and you know, it's kind of the perfect underdog movie. You know, this new kid who moves to California, and he uses karate to beat up his enemies. You know, so and, you know, by the end of the movie, you know how this is going to end. Spoiler alert: if you didn't know how it was going to end, he won. This movie's 34 years old. You should have already watched it. So sorry, you probably weren't going to watch it by now. Anyway, but I went back and watched this movie last week. And when I watched it, I noticed something else that I'd never seen before. You know, it's been 30 years since I've seen the movie. But here's what I noticed, is that it's not just a story about some kid who uses karate to win. What I noticed is that the main character, Daniel, is not only arrogant and short-tempered, but he respects no one, including the elderly and his mother, whom he curses at multiple times during the movie. Now, being 4 to 8 years old, I never noticed this the first time around, okay? Watching it the second time around, or maybe it was the 20th time around, just this past time, what I noticed was when Daniel got bullied, at a certain point I thought to myself, you deserve that. You deserve to be beat up like that. Now, I'm not saying he did, but looking at his attitude and his character, I started to notice that this is not just a story about a kid who used something to win. It's a story about a kid who got transformed from the inside out. It's a story about a kid who became different through the movie. When the movie starts, Daniel wants to learn karate because he wants to beat up the other kids who are beating up on him. And we all remember his teacher's name? Okay, good. Two of us do. Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. And so he asked Mr. Miyagi, he said, would you teach anyone karate? And Miyagi says, you know, Miyagi's a man of few words, and he doesn't use linking verbs, so, you know, it makes it even harder. And Miyagi says, depends. And Daniel says, depends on what? And Miyagi says, reason. Depends on the reason. And again, going back and watching this movie again, I noticed Miyagi never wants to do anything with Daniel. Miyagi's reluctant to teach Daniel because of his attitude. Miyagi's reluctant to keep teaching Daniel because Daniel talks too much. He plays too much. Daniel gets too arrogant. Remember at the end of the movie, Daniel gets hurt and he wants Miyagi to fix him. And Miyagi says no. He says, you've done enough. You've proven enough. He doesn't want to give Daniel too much until the very, very end. Again, spoiler, sorry. Until the very, very end, Daniel says, Mr. Miyagi, I need you to fix my leg because I need balance in my life. I need balance between me and my friends, balance between me and myself. That's when Mr. Miyagi does the whole, you know, rub the hands together and, you know, heal the leg. But it was like he was waiting for the boy to understand what the discipline would do. And by the end of the movie, you see a kid who's no longer disrespecting the elderly. He's no longer cursing at his mother. He's no longer doing these things. This has changed him from the inside out. Now, I've told you all this story for a couple of reasons. One, it's a great intro, so you don't fall asleep just yet. But really, the second reason that I tell you that is that sometimes I think it's good to go back and to look at things a second time around, because I think that's what Jesus was trying to do. If you got your Bibles, just go to Matthew 5 through 7. We won't move. Just stay right there in Matthew 5 through 7. I want to show you something. Jesus likes to take movies you've already seen and, you know, it's like shows in syndication or going to see a movie, you know, 45 times. Brooks is one of my elder ones, you know, the 15-year-old. He just saw Titanic. And then Izzy saw Titanic. Those of you who don't know, that was a movie, not just a boat. And I asked Izzy, I said, how did you like it? And she said, everybody dies at the end. I said, yeah, but that was real life. I mean, that was real life. Like, the whole boat sank. And by the way, if you didn't know the ending to that, see me after church. We got some things to talk about. She said, everybody dies at the end. And I said, yeah, but in the real life, everybody died on the boat too. And she said, I know, but I was hoping they would change it for the movie. It's like watching it again and hoping maybe they change the ending, you know? It's not going to be any less, it doesn't end any less like that. I went and saw, when I was their age, I went and saw that movie 21 times in the theater. Now, y'all know that movie is like 19 hours long in of itself, so that's days of my life that I'll never get back. But I was just fascinated by it, because I would go, and I don't do that anymore because I don't have any money to do that. Jesus kind of does that. Jesus takes movies you've already seen, stuff you already know, and he throws it out in front of you, and he says, watch this now. Let's think about it this way, okay? And if you've looked at this, remember on the Sermon on the Mount, at any time this year, you know that six times he says, you heard it was said, but I tell you, all right? And anytime you see it, he says that phrase six times. And when he says that, he's talking about core commandments. So thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not get vengeance. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. You know, he's talking about these. It's like watching the Karate Kid. You already know these laws. You already know the importance of these laws. Thou shalt not kill. Of course you shouldn't do that. But here's the real thing. The importance of a law is not that you follow it. The importance of the law is the reason you follow it. Let me see if I can make you understand this any better. Do y'all think that if our Congress signs more bills into law, that fewer people will kill in this country? Do we want to vote? How many of you think that if we pass more laws, we'll have less violence? Anybody want to vote? How many of you think that no matter how many laws you pass, people will still kill? So if Jesus says the law is thou shalt not kill, what we need in this country are more laws. What you need to do in your marriage is don't get a divorce. How many of you think that more marriages will be saved if we just told more people don't get a divorce? So why make the laws? I think that's Jesus' point. Like Miyagi, reason. It's not enough for you to know the importance of the law. What Jesus needs to do is to show you that everything you thought about this law is really not enough. We kind of have to unlearn some things first. When is it a good time to start working on your marriage? How about this? When is it a good time to start working on your friendship? When is it a good time to start maintaining your car? When's a good time to start changing your tires? Anybody got a good idea when that time is? Does anybody have a good time? When is it a good time to change those rear tires? Has anybody got a good notion? 20,000 miles, somebody said. Might be a little too late. Somebody said when they go flat. Okay. But isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? When do we start changing tires? When they go flat. When do you start changing the oil? What's that light doing on? When do we start taking the car into the shop? It's making a weird sound. What does it sound like? Sounds like I don't have a belt on my engine. Do you know why it sounds like that? Because you have no belt on your engine. Yeah, how long has it been sounding like that? Long time. Long time. Yeah. We know what we should or shouldn't do. What Jesus wants you to do is to understand that you just because you have the law doesn't mean anything. Just because you have it doesn't mean that it's all going to work. And he does this over and over and over again. And before he ever teaches you about the seriousness of it, he teaches you why you do it. Let me tell you this right here. The reason you do something will determine how well you do something. Y'all understand that? The reason we do what we do will determine how well you do what you do. It's the reason behind it. And I told you all of that this morning because I think when Jesus gets to the Lord's Prayer, what he wants to do is before he tells you how to pray, he tells you the reason you pray. But he does it just like everything else. He tells you, let me tell you the reasons why you shouldn't pray. And this morning I'm going to give you all three. And by the time you get to the last one, it's going to start to undo everything you thought about prayer. Downstairs we have this class that we're having downstairs, and we've been talking the last couple of weeks about why we pray and why we shouldn't pray, and should it make a difference or should it not make a difference. And by the time we got done talking about it downstairs, it was like I had rewatched a movie and saw something totally different. This morning we're not even going to get to the Lord's Prayer because it would take too long. Before we ever get to the Lord's Prayer, I want to look before the Lord's Prayer. Because before Jesus ever tells you about why or what you should pray, he tells you the reason that prayer is so important. And he goes through all three. It's like he takes the movie you've already seen and he says, nah, that's not it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Boy, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. They love to stand on street corners where others see them. Believe me when I tell you that they've received their reward. Somebody asked me recently to go play golf. I ain't picked up clubs. That's how long it's been since I picked up clubs. I can't remember the last time I picked up clubs. Last time I picked up a set of golf clubs, I don't know, my golf covers have dust on it. That's how long it's been. But he asked me to go play golf, and he's kind of a big wig guy. So you know what I said? Sure. He said, you play golf in a while? I said, all the time. I know. It came out before I could stop it. And then it was like a car accident. It's like, yeah, all the time. But I did try to back it up. I said, well, it's been a while, though. He said, well, is it all the time or has it been a while? I said, it was all the time, and then it's been a while. So, you know, I cleaned it up. And he said, you want to go play? I said, yeah. He said, are you any good? I said, yeah. I'm decent. I'm decent, you know. So decent can mean you golf 100 or you golf, you know, I don't know. I don't know how good he is. So I did what any natural person would do. I went home. I got the clubs. Went to the golf and the hitting, the whatever the range is. I was terrible. You know, it's been too long. You know, it's going over here, it's going over here. I swung, and then it's still on the tee. So I went, and I got the golf pro. I said, hey, man, and he's the one who gave me lessons 10 years ago. He said, Adam. I said, hey, Brian. He said, how's the golf game? I said, not good. He said, what happened? I said, I ain't played in a while. He said, well, let's work on it a little bit. So I went, and I was hitting, and he said, it's been a long while, Adam. I said, Brian, you got to help me out, man. I got to play golf like in 2 days. He said, oh. I said, what's oh mean? He said, how good's the other golfer? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you want to do? I said, Brian, you didn't hear me, man. I want to play golf. He said, no. What's the reason? Same as Karate Kid. Same as Jesus. Hey, ain't this all of us here? What's the reason? I said, what difference does it make, Brian? And he said, because the reason you're playing will determine how you play. I said, look, man, all I want to do is not be embarrassed. He said, well, that's different. I said, how is it any different? He said, if you don't want to be embarrassed, all I got to do is teach you how to get this ball off the tee. You don't have to put it in the hole. You don't have to make good strokes. He said, you can just hit it off the tee when nobody's looking, just drop another ball. I said, but that's cheating. He said, hey, you didn't say you wanted to win. Now, I didn't say I was going to cheat. You know, I didn't do that. But y'all hear what he said. The reason you play will determine the next step we go. The reason you do it. When Jesus says the reason you pray, look, if you want to pray because that's just what religious people do, you know, it's just what religious people, it's what you do in church, it's what you do at the funeral, it's what you do at, I don't know, anything. It's just what you do. If you want to do that because it's what religious people do, hey, that's great. If you want to hit a ball 250 or 300 yards straight down, and you want to look good in front of everybody else, Jesus says, you got your reward. But when it comes time to put it into the hole, everybody will find out you're really just for show. Right? How y'all think prayer works? You pray just because it's what you do, but when it comes to crisis time, we all start to find out who's really in and who's really just doing this for everybody else. Y'all know people who pray real well? Y'all know people who look like they're the kind of people who pray, and then when you need them, they're nowhere to be seen. Jesus says, if that's why you're praying, that's a bad reason. If that's why you're praying, hey, well, that's the kind of game you're going to have. And I think we would all agree, if you're praying just for everybody else, that's bad. We would all agree on that, but it's the next two that start to make us all squirm, because the next two are the reasons we pray. Look at the next one. Jesus says, when you pray, don't drum on and on and on like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. And I know some of y'all are thinking, well, I don't go on and on like that. I pray at night. I go to sleep, you know, before I even get done praying. Y'all remember the story from 1 Kings 18? Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Remember he was battle with the prophets of Baal? And he told the prophets, he said, tell y'all what, you get your God to light this fire, and we'll see if he can bring rain. And then when you get done, I'll see if my God can light the fire, and we'll see whose God is the rain bringer. So the prophets of Baal went screaming around the altar, y'all remember? And then they started cutting themselves and screaming even louder. And Elijah said, maybe y'all should scream louder. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he didn't hear you. Elijah's messing with him. Maybe your God can't hear. And all they were trying to do is get God to do what they want him to do. Let me ask y'all something. Don't we have the same mentality? Don't we really just want God to do what we ask him to do? And when he doesn't, we get angry. Jesus says, when you're going to pray, don't sit there and talk and drum on and on and on and on and on. You know, like pagans do. Pagans treat God like an ATM. I'm serious. Pagans treat God like an ATM. And I will tell y'all, I have met more Christian people who lost their faith. And do you know why they lost their faith? Because they prayed for God to heal their loved one. And you know what happened? He didn't. And they said, I can't believe in a God like that. So in other words, your prayer is only valuable if it gets a good result, right? It's like a stock. Does it have a good return? You get a 12% return on the stock. What if you only got a 2% return on a Cracker Barrel stock? Do you sell it? I say we sell it. Jesus says, if the reason you're praying is just to get what you want, that's the wrong reason. And if you're only praying to get what you want, you'll only pray to get something. Prayer is kind of worthless, really. I heard a great line the other day. I saw a small little girl. I never go into Walmart because I just don't want to. But I had to. I couldn't avoid it. I went to the Lebanon Walmart at like midnight. That's like going to a NASCAR race. You know, at a bad time. You know, it's just, and I like watching both. And I like going, I've digressed already, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I'm there, and there's a little girl. She had me 5 or 6 years old. And I'm thinking, what you doing at Walmart? Number one, what am I doing at Walmart at midnight? Number two, what are you doing at Walmart at midnight? But this little girl's going through, and she goes through, and she grabs this candy. They're going through the aisle in front of me, and she grabs it. She turns to her mother, and she just holds it up. I tell you, the little girl, she's asking, can I have this? But she's not using her words. She just held it up, and the mother said, you can get that. And the little girl put it in there, and the mother said, take it back out. And the little girl looked at her, and she said, take it back out. And she took it, and she said, put it back. So she put it back, and the mother said, you need to learn to say thank you when you get things. And I thought, I don't know if midnight's a little, if that's the proper time to be teaching this lesson. I didn't say that, I wasn't that brave. And you know what the little girl did? She grabbed the candy again, like this. The mother said, you can have that. And the girl put it in there, and the girl looked up, and she went like this. She was deaf. She could see her mother. Or at least the girl couldn't talk. And at first I thought, that's kind of cruel. The girl already got a disability, and you why don't we go a little eat? Look, it's midnight. Look, it's late. This is the right time to be teaching a lesson to a girl who has some difficulty speaking, and then you just mean to her. Just let her have it. Why can't we? And y'all know me, I can't be quiet. I said, why didn't you just let her have it the first time? It's midnight. What do I got to lose? I'm in Walmart, right? Can't get no worse. I said, why didn't you just let her have it the first time? And I said, is it that important that she say thank you? Is it really that important? And I'm smiling when I say it. I'm not smart enough. I said, is it really that important for her to say thank you at midnight? She had the best line I've heard in weeks. She said, I don't want to raise children who learn how to say thank you. I want to raise thankful children. I thought, that's a big difference. Y'all see the difference too? It's one thing to teach your children to say thank you. It's another thing entirely to raise thankful children. Because you can say, I can say thank you. Y'all give me five, y'all give me a candy bar, I'll say thank you. Especially if it's at midnight. You give me anything, I'll say thank you. We all can learn to say thank you. How many of us are thankful? It's a huge difference. There's a big difference in going to God and asking Him for something because you need something, and going to God and talking with Him because you just like talking to Him. And if the reason you're going to pray is because you want something, you look into Him like this, and if He doesn't give it to you, well, then I'm not talking to you anymore. Then, hey, you got your reward. You got your candy bar. If that's why you're praying, that's not a good reason. And you won't get very far. And here's the last one, and it's the worst one. Jesus says, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. We talked about in our class last Sunday how many times we get prompted to pray. Y'all are on Facebook. You've probably seen at least once this week. Somebody needs prayers. We need to pray. Somebody's asking for prayers. Somebody needs prayers because somebody's passed away. Somebody needs prayers because something else has happened. Or you see something happening and you pray. I passed somebody with a sign that said, homeless needs prayers. And we get prompted. I need to pray. Oh, I need to pray. Oh, I need to pray. Oh, somebody asked for prayer. I need to pray. Oh, somebody's asking for prayers. I need to go to God in prayer for that. Oh, promotion coming up. I need to have a prayer. Oh, I lost my job. I need to go get a prayer. We get prompted over and over. And Jesus says, hey, you're already too late. God already knows what you need. If you only come into God when you get prompted, you're too late, right? If you're only thinking about marriage when you start to say the D word, you're too late. If you're only taking your car in when the engine light come on, you're too late. If you're only taking the car in because it's making a noise, guess what? You're too late. If you're only balancing your checkbook when you get the statement in the mail, you're too late. You're too late. And I know we live in this country and we all want for there's a way to make it all work. You're too late. You're too far in the hole. Jesus says, if you only come into God with, hey, so I'm getting this promotion. And God says, I don't know. I've known, as my kids used to say, I done been known about that. I've known about that for weeks. Where you been? You just now coming here with that? If the only time we're going to God is when we get prompted to go to God, you're too late. y'all, please don't think I'm saying that you don't, if you need something, don't bother God. And I'm not saying that if something happened, you shouldn't consult God in prayer. What I am saying is that the reason you pray will determine how well you pray. So before you pray, like I said, we're not even going to get to the Lord's Prayer. Before you pray, here's some things I want us to understand about prayer that I think Jesus is trying to help us with. We pray not because we need something, but we pray because we live in the kingdom of God. It's what kingdom people do. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you as well. Pray to God all the time. Talk to God all the time. And when somebody on Facebook says, oh, I need prayers. Hey, guess what? You've already been praying. This ain't nothing for you. You've already been praying. Psalm 37, verse 4. Says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Notice what your delight is in. It's not in asking for something. It's in needing God. So give yourself to God, and the rest of that stuff will work out. But delight yourself in God. We pray because it's what kingdom people do. Here's a second one. We pray all the time. You remember that passage in Luke? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I don't like that translation. This is the New Living Translation. I don't just pick my favorite translation. Well, actually, I do. I pick my favorite translation. But this is a more accurate translation. It's not just some simple kind of verb here. The best way to translate this is keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. You pray and 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 you pray all the time because it's just what people do. Do y'all think Tiger Woods got good at golf overnight? Please, no one say yes. I remember watching and some, well, he's not good anymore. I bet he beat you. Yeah. I was watching the Masters and so I was standing next to somebody and Tiger wasn't doing well. And then he hit this great shot, and it went into the hole. And the guy next to me, he said, some people are just born with talent. I said, hey, man. This dude didn't come out of the womb. You know, it's not like he was born with this miracle to swing, you know. And I think when we look at people, it's like when people look at kids. I see kids get these awards for football or for decathlon or for an Ironman or for anything, and people say, oh, they're just born with talent. You rob these children of the hours and hours and hours. Do y'all think these Olympic gold medalists just, you know, I think I'm going to do Olympics this year. I've decided, you know, I've been eating bonbons and Twinkies for 20 years, but this year is going to be, seriously? Do you know how much time they put into this? Do y'all know how much time Olympic gold medalists put into this? I mean, even the little thing, you know, where they rub the ice, I have no clue what they're doing. It's like hockey and wax on, wax off at the same time. I don't even know what it is. But I come to find out they practice 10 hours a day for what? Because they want to be that kind of person. Jesus tells a parable right here after Luke when he gives the Lord's Prayer in Luke. And he says, y'all got a friend that comes over, starts knocking at the door. He says, hey, friend, I got some neighbors come over. I need some bread. And you in the house and you said, hey, do you know what time it is? It's 12 o'clock. Go to Walmart. You know, they open. Well, that's where Adam is. Go to Walmart. And you know what the friend keeps doing? Hey, I had enough gas. Get to Walmart. I need that bread now. Look, man, kids are asleep. My wife, you're going to wake my wife. Hey. And Jesus says, you know what you finally do? You finally give the guy some bread just to make him go home. And Jesus says, that's how God is. And you think, what? Does anybody think God says, I finally had to just give in. They just wore me out. Adam always talking to me. Adam always asking for something. I finally just had to give him what he was asking for. He wear me out. I don't think God just gives in like that. But I think people who train well do well. And I think the reason you do something will determine how well you do something. And we got to do it all the time. But here's the last thing. Prayer is not a single action. Prayer is a way of life. It's a way of life. In 2010, they remade did anybody see this one? None of y'all saw this? Some of y'all lying. I know you did. If you didn't see this, y'all need to see this movie. 2010, they remade the movie Karate Kid. Now, in this movie, it's not karate, it's kung fu. So I don't know why they called it Karate Kid. But it's kung fu, and it's not set in California, it's set in China. And it's not Mr. Miyagi anymore, it's Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan plays the guy who's teaching this young kid kung fu. And he notices this kid. And this kid throws his stuff on the floor and doesn't pick it up, and he disrespects his mom. And he starts to teach the kid kung fu. And y'all remember the whole thing in the first Karate Kid about sand the floor and paint the fence, wax on, wax off. Well, in this movie, Jackie Chan plays the sensei, and he sees the kid throwing his stuff on the floor. And so he says, I'll teach you kung fu. I want you to hang up the jacket. I want you to take the jacket down. I want you to put on the jacket. I want you to take off the jacket. I want you to throw the jacket on the floor. I want you to pick up the jacket. I want you to hang up the jacket. I want you to put on the jacket. I want you to take off the jacket. And he makes this kid hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, over and over and over and over and over. And finally the kid gets mad and he says, this is dumb. You don't know kung fu. That's when Jackie Chan says, take off the jacket. And when the kid goes to take it off, the teacher tries to punch him and he blocks it. You see, the whole time, just like wax on, wax off, you know, the whole time, the kid thought he was just going through the motions, but what he learned is that this was a way of life. I'm going to read to you what the teacher said. He said, kung fu lives in everything we do. It lives in how we put on the jacket. It lives in how we take off the jacket. It lives in how we treat people. Everything is kung fu. What if we could start thinking about that when it comes to prayer? When it comes to prayer. When do you pray? Why do you pray? Because y'all know really it's not about the prayer. It's about the one doing the praying. How do you measure the strength of a prayer? Is it the words you use? Is it how well you say it? Is it how long you pray? Is it the right things you're thinking? Is it if you fall asleep or don't fall asleep? How do you measure a prayer? How do you think God measures a prayer? God measures a prayer by the one doing the praying. And when Jesus tells you to start praying, it ain't because he wants you to get what you asked for. It ain't because he wants you to finally receive what you've been hoping for. He tells you to start praying because he's interested in you. Church, praying is in taking off the jacket. Praying is putting on the jacket. Praying is when y'all go out to wherever y'all going to eat for lunch. That's prayer too. Prayer is everything you do. Everything is prayer. And today when y'all see something, when somebody needs prayers, maybe you'll pass somebody on the way home, needs prayers. And you don't have to go to God in prayer because you're already in prayer. We have to learn how to live in constant prayer all the time. This morning, how often do you pray? When do you pray? Why do you pray? Let me end with this. Jesus don't care. He cares about you. He doesn't care about why you're praying. He cares about you. And he cares about where you'll end up. Prayer is not a way for you to get to heaven. But we ain't going to get there if we don't start praying. If we can help you with that, won't you come? All together we stand and sing.